dominant force in this business today. And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. Welcome to the debut episode on the Wrestling Radio Network of Wrestling Weekly. Les,
Doc,
I'll tell you what.
Have we hit the big time?
I don't know. I think so.
Well,
we have a lot of new listeners tonight. And,
cool. Now, can I go back to watching American Idol?
not quite yet.
Okay.
We have a lot of new listeners tonight, and we want to let them know that Les is the man. Right at the beginning of the show, we want to let them know that.
But we're not sure past that what he is. No, hey, you know, for the new listeners, we're the Dr. Johnny Fever, Venus Flytrap, Butch and Sundance of WRN Network.
Yes, the odd couple of the Internet.
I don't know what that means exactly, but Doc said come out smoking, so what can I tell you?
And hopefully, I don't want to jinx anything tonight, but my phone line has been messing up for the last few days.
Oh, good.
It's just staticky, though.
Welcome to Tim Taylor's Tool Time.
Yes. But so far, everything's good.
All right.
We got a great show for you guys coming up tonight. We've got Chris Canyon. He's going to be here with part two of his interview, if you've heard, at WrestlingWeekly.com. Part one of the interview, he was talking about his decision to come out of the closet. We pretty much got up to the point where he did come out of the closet, and then we ran out of time.
Yeah, you know what? I thought it was quite interesting and quite professional, and I think I was very impressed the way Chris handled it, and in fact, that was the reason I think for inviting me back to because I know there are a lot of questions that didn't get answered,
right?
And, and the guys in the chat room wanted to, and the girls or whoever want to take part as well. So yeah, I think that's cool, and then. We got this beat-up old guy from Texas.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
He used one of my favorite human beings. Yeah, Terry Funk.
Terry Funk's going to be on the program.
Yeah,
good
cool.
Guy. I love Terry Funk. I got a man crush on that guy.
Well, now, listen, never mind. I'm not going there. I'm not going there.
I'm sure.
Well, TNA pay-per-view, I got so-so reviews.
Right.
Except, well, of course, the big bump on top of the cage. You and I were talking before we came on the air, and I said, and I mean this sincerely, I'm fearful for some of these guys, and I understand the one-upsmanship and the whole deal. Been there, done that, but never at that level. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't climb 10-foot ladders. But yeah, it was spectacular. But I would hate to see them guys really get hurt, and that's what bothers me.
I am so surprised that the cage held.
Yeah, well,
They put a lot of faith into the construction of that cage.
Yeah, and had it not, and of course everybody would say, well, but it did, But, the sad thing is, listen, our business is a risk, it done properly. At any level,
mm-hmm.
There's chance for injury or dismemberment, whatever, disablement for life. Again, they raised the bar, and I admire their, daredevil attempts and the fact that they're doing a lot of things that I wouldn't do, if I were 30 years younger, But anyway, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I just don't want to, it's not worth it.
No,
it
really isn't.
I want to, and the reason I say that, I want to see these guys making money and doing what they obviously love to do 20 years down the road, if indeed they want to,
Right.
The cool thing is there's some guys like Jericho and, Christian is able to make decisions on his own. Guys who have saved money today and the environment, even though there's less opportunities, those opportunities, a guy could make a decent living and put some money away.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
We'll ask Terry Funk later on what it's like to be broken down.
You wouldn't say that if he were up close.
No, I wouldn't say that to him.
No, you wouldn't. I'll tell you what. There's a guy. But he's a tremendous performer. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He's supposed to have those knees replaced about 8 years ago now.
Right.
And still hasn't done it.
Still has not done it.
No.
But, I mean, I can imagine the quality of life for him has gone down.
You know, anyway, from what I did read about the pay-per-view is that it still came out. It was a pretty good show overall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the match in a cage concept. I think it dilutes the prime, objective of the thing.
It seems it wasn't utilized a lot either.
Yeah, yeah. WWE's supposedly going to start ECW up again after, the pay-per-view's in June?
Yes.
I guess after that they're going to start up, so.
I heard September.
September, okay.
This is what I heard. The ECW brand is coming back. Now, whether it's going to be a third separate entity or a brand on either Raw or SmackDown, we don't know yet.
Okay, yeah, I've heard a lot of, a lot of speculation. Of course, that's all it is at this point in time.
Right.
The idea that it's going to be another developmental, I say no, that's possible, but I would think no for several reasons. The main one being that you can't disrupt, if ECW is going to be, going to pay for itself, if it's going to, to be run like a major business, then they can't be pulling talent to put on the big show.
Right.
And that is one of the things that obviously happens with developmental. Take my word for it. They've done that. Well, no, I've had guys pulled out at noon, on Tuesday to fly someplace because they wanted to look at them at SmackDown or use them or something, Mm. But, of course, that's their privilege. That's what they pay for. But the point is, I don't think it'll be run like that simply for that very reason. They can't be messing with their storylines like they can do with a developmental, And that's something that probably won't change anytime. So I would say, they can't possibly do it that way. I've heard talk of replacing Ohio Valley, and I don't see that. Well, I see no reason, The school's productive. It's well run. Danny Davis runs a tight ship. Al Snow is doing a very good job. Rip Rogers behind, which is not tied in with WWE, but runs with, I think, the middle of the road class, I'll call it, because I can't think of what they do call it now. Russell Simpson, who's a nice young man from Texas, I've worked with several times. In fact, he was down in North Carolina in February. We did our camp down there. He's now the beginner's trainer for Ohio Valley.
Cool.
Anyway, it's a well-run organization, and I see no reason, to disrupt it. I would think they would base ECW in the more populated area, up in the Northeast, which is where it was born anyway, and that's where its core is. So, and what do you think, Doc? Are you still here?
I'm still listening to you.
All right.
I'm learning.
Roll on in. No, I just make sense. That's the core. ECW's got people all over, but, the more populated areas, obviously, are probably more suited to start, small and build.
Right.
So, anyway, we'll see. We'll see. I'm sure they obviously have a plan, or if they don't, we'll have before September, if that is the launch date.
Yes, yes. Before we continue with the news, let everybody know what you're doing these days, all the new listeners. Who's Les Thatcher?
I give up. What am I doing these days?
Yeah.
Well, EPWT.com is Elite Pro Wrestling Training, and we have a training manual out, Professional Wrestlers Workout and Instructional Guide.
Good book.
I have sports publishing by myself and Harley Race and Ricky Steamboat, and forward by Jim Ross and the text by Alex Marvez, and a cast of thousands. Anyway, it should be in your local bookstore or at Amazon or all the normal places. And we do seminars in Chicago. I'm going to North Carolina and work with High Spots 15th, 16th, 17th next month, May. In Vegas, June 8, 9, 10 for the CAC, Cauliflower Alley Club, convention and two-day training seminar and matches on Saturday. I know we're going to Denver and September. Don't have the dates right in front of me. And we're talking to people in Indiana and in Georgia.
All right.
In Delaware. So anyway.
Lots of training.
And then I do this show with Doc Young on whatever God knows given night that he decides we need to move to. You know what I was thinking? The next move, Doc, should be to Sunday morning, about 6 a.m., sunrise services with Dr. Brian Alvarez. And he could preach McMahonism. No, never. I don't really want to. That, I don't know. That's you know what? It's I don't know. It's filling space, and it's honestly kind of you know, humorous. I mean, in a Saturday Night Live, you know, sort of way. But it's like you think, oh, what? I don't know. I just, you know, I don't know. Somebody was saying, well, you think that Shane and Vince are going to take bumps for, you know, the Invisible Man. I said, no, I don't. Well, I don't know.
Maybe. That would be the stupidest thing ever.
Well, you're right. It would be. Please do not rule that out.
I don't know what to expect anymore.
I honestly don't either. I honestly. You know what? Here's, like I said last week, if this is the direction of more skits and that sort of thing and you know, actually less in-ring, although I suspect that part of this is due to the shallowness of actually experienced talent.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, for the new listeners, let me qualify that by saying that I'm not saying anybody's bad, good, or indifferent. I'm just saying that if you haven't been there and done that, then you can't know. And there's a lot of young talent, which I think has a lot of potential, but a huge percentage of these guys are untested, really, in the higher elements of the business, so it is yet to be seen. And poor John Cena, who's being pulled between the writers and the fans, and you know, the company says he's going to be, they are going to cheer him, and they're saying no, we're not. I don't know. You know, I God bless him. I think John's a good kid, and I wish him well. That doesn't seem like it should be a major issue, but it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The April 20th edition of Impact drew a 0.9 rating for its second week on Thursday nights. Viewership dropped nearly 20% from the April 13th edition, which drew an overall 1.1.
UFC was down too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Which means what? I mean, nobody's for sure because it's only the second week, right?
Right.
But, I mean, it obviously does not do any harm to anybody on any network to have a strong lead-in. And if you do, obviously, some of that's going to bleed over. And, obviously, they dropped, you know, the UFC audience dropped off as well. I don't know. It's too soon to tell,
yeah.
I think. You know, but, see, you know, there's so many variables. And that's the thing. It's not just a better time slot. You know, it's kind of like what you do with it, you know. I mean, we can put you on a championship team, but if you don't play at that level, then who cares?
Right.
You know, so, I mean...
Do you think TNA put all their eggs in one basket on the first show?
Yeah, I think they did. I think they put a lot out there. Well, I think, you know, from reading everybody, a lot of reports on it or feedback from whoever, I think a lot of people say the same thing about the pacing. And yet, you know, the argument is, well, it's only an hour, so we've got to get as much in as possible. But then I can talk to you as fast as I possibly can. I don't know if you ever know how I'm doing. I don't even, you get my point.
Yeah.
Somebody
in the chat.
But I think, see, that's something they've got to find a level.
Yeah.
Something like the show a couple weeks ago, I thought, I thought it was great coming out of the gate with Chris and Joe. You know,
yes.
I read somebody said, well, I never would open a show with a match in progress. Why not? Well,
it's
just because
heated.
I wouldn't. It'd be the end. Well, you know, because no, there's nothing wrong with seeing that. It is different enough that it's going to catch somebody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do that every week? No.
Right.
You know, but see, there's the thing, too. Do other things sparingly. That's one of the reasons I wasn't crazy about every match in a cage element because, you know, it's like, okay. You know, and it just, it again, takes away from the uniqueness of that particular thing.
Yeah. And we're going to cover TNA's Lockdown pay-per-view. We're going to do the recap
right,
a little bit later.
Yeah. You and I predicted, or
We played the pay-per-view.
Or guest, actually.
Yeah.
I prefer to say because I don't.
We played the pay-per-view prediction game last week.
Exactly.
And we're going to find out who won, myself or Les. Now, I usually always win. Les won last time. We're going to find out who won tonight a little bit later on in the program. But we've got a hot topic coming up right now. This is a segment where we call one of the wrestling journalists.
And we hope they're not mad at us and they'll pick the phone up.
Yes, and they will be discussing the topic of the week with us. And this week it's Bruce Mitchell from PWTorch.com. He's going to be our Hot Topic guest. So we're going to take a quick break, and let's go ahead and do Hot Topic real quick. And we'll be right back after this with Bruce Mitchell. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher on the Wrestling Radio Network.
It's Wrestling Weekly Radio, broadcasting greatness every Sunday.
Woo! What a night! Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need. Visit www.businessadvances.com. A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price. Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies. www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio. Well, if one or all of these are true, visit FanTalkLive.com today. That's www.FanTalkLive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the Internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at FanTalkLive@AOL.com. That's FanTalkLive@AOL.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly on the Wrestling Radio Network. Right now on the line from PWTorch.com, columnist Bruce Mitchell. Bruce, I want to thank you for being on Wrestling Weekly for Hot Topic.
It's good to be back, and I apologize for missing a couple of weeks.
Well, we jump around to different nights. I'm going to call you Mr. Mitchell. We're on the yeah, the Wrestling Radio Network now, so we've moved uptown.
Yeah.
So now you're Mr. Mitchell.
I only get that from 9-year-olds, but that's all right.
Well, I'm closer to 90. Will that work?
I'm getting like that, too, between 9 and 90. I guess I am getting closer to 90.
So what's the hot topic this week, Bruce?
You know, I figure it's got to be the return of ECW. I mean, that's pretty shocking news.
Oh,
yeah. I think the decision was made, you know, very quickly, too. So, I mean, it's pretty surprising. I thought there was a window of opportunity last year after the success of that pay-per-view, and I thought the window closed. I really am shocked to hear this.
What do you think? Now, you know, we were talking about this, and everybody's speculating, and I said one of the things I would close the door of speculation on would be that it would be run like a developmental territory because they couldn't possibly keep their storylines intact if they were run that way.
Well, you know, the problem with it is I think Vince McMahon made the decision on the way back from Europe, and I don't think they thought it through that far. But I think the idea really is that it will be something of a and I agree with you, Les, but I think it's going to be something of a developmental territory that they want to get a developmental territory that they can run some shows off of and sell merchandise at the same time, and that they'll bring in some of these better-known ECW names and then kind of phase them out. But I think CM Punk and Gunnar Scott are the two that this is kind of aimed for. I mean, it's kind of bizarre, though, because I don't know that you want that ECW style from 10 years ago that did so much damage to all those bodies. You want your up-and-coming wrestlers, you know, that you want to have stars later on be working. But, you know, I don't know. It's a very strange story.
Yeah, well, you know, and the whole thing, I think, too, part of the mystique, and there's going to be a turnover in fans regardless. I mean, like in anything else, part of the mystique when it was us against them.
Absolutely.
And now that it's obviously known that it's owned by a publicly held corporation, then it's like that kind of takes that mystique away.
You know, I think it's one of the most ironic things of all that ECW, which is the ultimate up yours, you know, we're taking the sport back from the big companies,
right,
the rebel promotion run on a shoestring, ended up as the C-team for the biggest, you know, conglomerate corporation wrestling of them all. I mean, I think that's really, I mean, it's ironic and kind of sad. I mean, everything develops and, you know, gives people a place to work, but it's just, yeah, I mean, that's, I don't think that they're going to have a hard time being the rebel promotion and a hard time doing that. But, I mean, I could see Vince McMahon letting them within limits, you know, cut anti-WWE promos and all that
kind
of thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'll tell you right now, if Paul and Tommy are indeed going to write that or book it or call it whatever you like, as I'm hearing, then they're going to have to find somebody to replace. Well, Tommy as being on the road in developmental and Paul as being the booker in OVW, because it's going to be a full-time thing and they're not going to have time to stretch them that thin.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions that go with this that I don't think they've answered, which is I don't think that, you know, I think that this affects OVW in the fact that, you know, Paul Heyman, you know, books, writes OVW, and as you said, he's not going to be able to do both those things. But, you know, and who's in the background? I don't think, you know, Jim Cornette still owns part
sure.
of it, but I don't think he wants to put himself in that position again, and I don't know if they want to put him in that position again. And then you start looking at who could do it, and that's tough. I know they're not happy with Deep South. I know they're not happy with how Deep South has started up.
I've heard that. What's the knock?
That it's a mess.
Really?
It's just, they're just having a hard time getting it started, getting it going, and they're not happy with how the guys are developing or how the thing, you know, it's just not well run from what I understand.
Are they blaming the trainers for this? Or
I think so. I mean, well, you know, they're not blaming themselves. It's
yeah.
WWE.
Well, you know, here's another thing, too, is that both OVW and my place were up and running for several years before we ever became affiliated.
That's exactly right.
So it was like just we were there, and with this subsidy and the help of the name and the talent and what have you, it jumped us another level. But now they're starting from scratch, and they got to understand that's in this particular day and age when the business actually is kind of down domestically, it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world. Plus, getting on television is not, that's not for nickels and dimes either. Believe me, I know what we were paying up in the Dayton market for midnight on Saturday on a network affiliate. And I say Dayton because couldn't afford the Cincinnati market.
Right.
And even with a subsidy, everybody thought, well, you're part of WWE, where's your Mercedes? Well, I've disguised mine as a Pontiac.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you guys know VW had their structure in place, and you got to get your structure in place and be flexible to all the whims and back and forth needs of WWE, which, and they're not thinking, they should be. They're thinking of themselves first, and then they're thinking of what,
right,
of what you're going to do. So, it's a real tough road to
have. See, yeah, and if they expect Deep South to get on in that metro market, then they better be ready to get deep in their pockets, because there's just no possible way that little company can generate that kind of income on its own.
I really think that WWE have to be, if they want developmental territories to work and for them to, to bring, they're going to have to look at it as an investment and,
yeah,
with long-term, with long-term rewards. And I don't know that they really do that. I mean,
that's
going to take some time.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't think it's possible to run.
Sadly enough, Bruce, I think that is the only alternative. And they're the only ones that can actually afford it. And I think instead of, what they need is four more, or, five or six, spread around, and where they can move the kids that are under contract in and out to get them work with different talents. And instead of firing and rehiring people, that's the other thing too. When I had the contract, they would send guys down. There were times when in on my roster, I had Raven, Dreamer, Stevie Richards, Incredible, Hugh Morris or Bill DeMott, whatever you want to call him, D'Lo, Val, Lord knows who, that weren't being used up there. We're down here, and it in several ways. It helped our little houses draw better. It helped the kids got a chance to work with a higher level pro. It had so many positives. I can't even think of a negative, except they still got paid. but they also stayed in ring shape and were ready to go back up whenever they were needed.
Yeah, I mean I just really think that it takes for all that to work. It's going to take, investment of time, money,
yeah,
and really thinking it all the way through and thinking it, and sticking with it for the long term. And I don't know. I mean, it's tough. And then the other thing is, wrestling looks on TV a lot. It's hard to run a cheap television program now and have it look like wrestling and have people take it seriously, because everybody is used to, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown production values, and that's. I just think.
I'll tell you what. Amazingly enough, and of course, and it was usable in a medium-sized market, but Danny Davis, God love him, he proved that he could take secondhand, equipment that maybe wasn't up to everybody's standards, and turn out a show that was airable, on network affiliates within the community.
No, that's true. I mean, I wasn't thinking so much of the TV,
and
trying to draw people to come to your shows.
But
no, you're right. I mean, when I watch OVW, and of course I'm used to, I'm used to decades of, less than that, but I mean,
right,
watch OVW, very quickly I forget about the production values and just kind of watch the show. So, if you get people used to it and that's their market, you could do it. But I mean, I wonder, even with this ECW stuff, what happens if it really works? If it starts looking pretty good, and they get television, I don't know where they're going to put their television, and they get television, and people start saying, boy, this show's better than Raw and SmackDown, or I like it better than Raw and SmackDown. I think that would, there's that jealousy factor in WWE creative too. I mean, that's going to be, they got to succeed, but not too well.
Right.
And that's a tough balance.
Blue Rampage in the chat room wants to know if WWE bringing back ECW could affect TNA.
I really don't think so, unless they get some sort of network clearance for that 1 hour, and you know, and it affects the time. You know, it's on Thursday night or something. I mean, I don't know. I think TNA stays TNA because, you know, I don't think it's going to have that level. I mean, I just don't see it. The one thing to me is TNA is so reticent to challenge WWE publicly on their television, and ECW will be doing it. If you see that on TV, that's going to make, you know, it's going to make TNA look kind of lacking some guts, which I think they kind of look like right now.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for being on, Bruce, and we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Don't forget to check out Bruce's columns at pwtorch.com.
All right, good deal.
Hey, Bruce, I enjoyed your rough outs for the different novels for Vince.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, yeah, the old hacking out the detective novels. I just, you know, what I spent my life reading, so I'm not trying to fake it through there. But yeah, I appreciate that. That's good.
Why don't you write some of those?
Huh?
Why don't you write some?
You know, that is the first time I've ever tried to do anything like that. If I can figure out a plot and do something like that, but it's hard to have a, you know, tough, hard-bitten elementary school detective, so I figure out that part. I'll get, but I appreciate the encouragement. That's cool.
It was cool.
All right, Les.
All right, Bruce.
All right, Doc. You too.
Bye-bye,
you
guys.
Bye.
Bruce Mitchell from PWTorch.com here on Wrestling Weekly. It's about time to get our guest on. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we've got Chris Canyon on. Cross your fingers. And we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher on the Wrestling Radio Network.
It's Wrestling Weekly Radio broadcast.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nadelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio. Well, if one or all of these are true, visit FanTalkLive.com today. That's www.FanTalkLive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the Internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@AOL.com. That's fantalklive@AOL.com.
Hi, my name's Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio. Well, if one or all of these are true, visit fantalklive.com today. That's www.fantalklive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@AOL.com. That's fantalklive@AOL.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, Chris Canyon. Who better? Nobody.
Les Thatcher's better. Oh, well, okay. If you say so. How you been, kid?
Doing great.
All right. Good, man. Listen, I tell you, I want to kick this off, and I just read this today. There's an indie wrestler. You know about this? Simon Sermon?
Yes, I know Simon Sermon.
Okay. And now there's a documentary, right?
Yep.
Changing Perceptions. Is that right? Well, you want to tell you if you know him, so then you know more about it than I do. Would you explain what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he's an indie guy based out of Georgia. Also openly gay. He's been on the indie circuit, I think at least 2 or 3 years. Not sure what he claims, but. So when I came out and said I was the first open, but if you go back and read my original blogs and stuff, I was very specific about what I meant by professional wrestler, because, you know, we can't trace back. By the nature of what independent wrestling is, there could have been an openly gay independent wrestler in, you know, Iowa or Idaho 20 years ago, for all I know. There's just not that many records about independent wrestling. So
right.
For me to make the claim I'm the first openly gay pro wrestler, I wanted to really drive home what I meant by pro, and by pro, in those original blogs, I define professional as either making your full-time living as a wrestler or having signed a full-time contract with one of the big companies, where I've actually done both for the last 10 years, so...
Right. I heard of Simon Sermon, but I didn't know he was gay.
Yeah, you know what? And I lived in Georgia, and I didn't know either until I was actually about to do this.
It just goes to show you, right?
Yep. So, you know, and there was another guy, too, that I think claimed did it before him when he came out. So, some guy up in your area, less up in the Cincinnati, Indiana area, there was a guy that was doing it as well.
And who was that?
Man, you know, I did read his name when I was doing research, and... Man, I forget his name, but he actually got a lot more publicity than Simon did. He actually got in some of the gay magazines and stuff like that, gay news magazines and stuff like that.
I would have thought that would have been all over the independent boards.
I think they probably ran into the same problem I ran into, you know, when we've tried to go mainstream with this, when we've approached USA Today and some of the mainstream press and mainstream TV shows, because it's wrestling, they think it's a storyline. They don't want to be, quote-unquote, fooled.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and I think Chuck and Billy kind of set that tone. So a lot of groups thought the whole Chuck and Billy thing was real, and then when they came out that it was a publicity stunt, I think it kind of made a lot of mainstream gun shy.
Yeah, or don't
so, and I was backwards. I thought I'd go mainstream first, and then go back to the gay press and to magazines like The Advocate, which is a gay news magazine, who actually did an article on me this past. They do every 2 weeks. They have magazines, and I was in the one that was just out. So, I mean, it's easy for me to get into gay magazines because it's topical for them. But to get on something like USA Today or, you know, someone like Howard Stern or Oprah or someone like that, they're just very nervous that I'll go in there, act gay, and then 2 months later say, oh, you guys were all fooled.
Yeah.
So I think if the gay press picks it up and really drives it home and, you know, I don't know how to prove that you're gay other than, you know, going on Howard Stern and making out with some dude.
You know, you know what? I was glad to hear when you... made your when you define pro professional wrestler versus just independent, I'm glad I'm not the only person that does that, because when you say independent, that is so diverse today. It could be somebody who can barely walk and chew.
You know, and you know, I don't know how to describe pro other than that, because I know backyard kids who, you know, who run their own show and they pay their, you know, pay their guys $5-$10. Does that make them pros?
Right.
You know, they're in a ring and they're getting paid. Does that make them a professional?
Yeah.
You know, there's independent guys who do it as a goof, and, you know, and I'm not thinking that there are independent guys that are probably more talented than a lot of guys on TV today.
But it's
just a definition. It's just, it doesn't mean they're better or worse. It's just two separate things, in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they don't, you know, to me, a lot of independent guys don't make it because they don't believe they can make it. If they believed in their hearts that they would make it, they would.
How does it feel that you were in the closet for so long, and now that you've come out, a lot of people won't believe you?
Well, I think a good definition today, too, is a professional wrestler is someone who makes a living above the poverty level at the industry.
Right.
Yeah, because then that would eliminate a lot of people and some very good workers, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, and, again, I'm not taking anything away from Simon Sermon, and I hate that I can't remember. I didn't know you were going to go in this direction. I didn't even know Simon would be brought up.
Well, you know what? I just read it today. It was all news to me.
It's amazing. And the reason these guys are getting that Simon, and it's not even so much Simon. You know, I don't like the way Simon, because I've met Simon. I was actually at a gay bookstore in Atlanta about a year ago when I was getting therapy, when I was getting mental therapy for coming out. My therapist kind of insisted. She goes, you need to go down to Midtown Atlanta, because that's like a heavily gay populated area. You need to go to a bookstore and just hang out in there and kind of do research there, and you'll meet, you know, you need to date. She was really into me meeting other gay people and hanging out with more gay people, because I don't really have many gay friends. And I just happened to be in there, and a guy that Simon walked in, he was with a friend that I knew from the industry in Georgia there. And he came over and introduced me, and I told him my plans. And, you know, at the time, he was cool. I even told him, I want to be Push's first openly gay, active, you know, male athlete in this country. And he was cool with it until I actually did it. And then because him and his buddy had this documentary going, and it wasn't so much Simon, although Simon didn't call me or anything, which was weird because we had each other's numbers and stuff. I actually went out with him a couple of times. You know, he brought me out to the club because he knew the gay clubs better than I did. But it wasn't so much him. It was just the producer of the documentary like any mainstream appearance I did, he was on the phone. I'm like, this guy's, you know, he went on my MySpace and, you know, he's just relentlessly, you know, dog, you're not the first gay wrestler. I'm like, dude, read the definition. You know, I'm the first openly gay professional wrestler. Simon's independent. I mean, it's a matter of semantics. If you don't believe my definition of professional wrestler, then yeah, I guess, you know, if you have a different definition of professional wrestler,
yeah,
then maybe he fits it. But, you know, to me, he's an independent guy, and I'm a professional.
Since you've been on the show last, which was a couple of weeks ago, right where you left off on your story was that you had just come out, and the promoter, I believe you said, he didn't know if it was real or not?
Yeah, he never even asked.
Okay,
it was weird, and nobody did. It was odd, man. Like, in that whole month in between when I did it in Canada and when I did it in, you know, in Orlando, with that, and actually that pay-per-view is airing April
29th. It'll be this Saturday.
And I talked to Jimmy Hart about it, and, you know, they taped a lot. They probably taped over three and a half hours worth of stuff, and the pay-per-view is only 2 hours. So they did edit down Paige's promo and my promo a little bit, but they said it's still in there. So you'll still see the, and he said, the Paige did repeat his promo like twice, just because we were both kind of, I don't know if he was nervous, but it was a touchy subject, man. We were very concerned with how the fans would react to what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did, I talked to Jimmy, they said they edited it down, but it's still in there. You still get a gist of what we did, and still, you know, the question's still asked and still answered, so. You know, and the match is good. Me and Paige had a really good one. You know, Carlos Colon's other son is on that show. I heard he had a real good match in Vampiro. So there's some really good wrestling on there. And then there's, of course, the Legends, if you want to see them as well. You know, always entertaining.
Yeah, Jimmy Hart is going to
be
there.
Yeah, you know, Cornette's in there and Bruno's in there. And you know Cornette's going to be entertaining. He always is. And Jake the Snake's in there. I mean, there's just a lot of different things. Scott Steiner's on it. So there's a lot of different things you can pull out of it that's probably going to be very entertaining.
Now, who did you wrestle on the paper?
I wrestled DDP.
DDP, awesome. Yeah.
And, you know, everybody was very happy with that. I heard that match, people were very happy with it. And Vampiro's match, I heard, was phenomenal.
So what was the reaction like after the World Legends pay-per-view?
It was, you know, you still have some hardcore fans that were, you know, chanting fag and stuff. But it was like it was very different than your typical wrestling reaction. It was a slow build of applause,
mm-hmm,
to the point where, you know, some people were standing, some people were emotional. I was very emotional. I think they could tell it wasn't a wrestling angle, that it was a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting for me to watch it. You know, I had some friends in the audience, and they said it was phenomenal. Jimmy Hart said you could definitely tell it's not an angle, and the fans reacted thusly. But it'll be interesting to see how it airs. You know, I'm interested to see how it aired.
Cool. I get some.
You know what amazes me is that in this day and age, in the year 2006, the fact that there are gay people in every walk of life shouldn't be a shock to anybody. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just okay. I mean, I'm sorry. I guess I'm too many years in this business. I guess, Chris. I don't. You know, it's just okay. Whatever. But you get my point.
Les is jaded.
Huh?
You're jaded, Les.
No, but I'm amazed when people become amazed. You know, I'm thinking, okay, where have you been? You know, it's not like this is revolutionary, honestly. You know, what are your plans wrestling-wise, Colonel? I mean, you got anything cooking, like European tour or anything like that?
I have a bunch of indies coming up. I'm actually wrestling Jake the Snake this Friday in Tampa, Florida, in Ybor City. Right on the street, they're setting up a tent, and they're having a big show with...
Oh, that's the Dusty's Come Home? Or?
Yeah, Dusty against Ron Bass is on that one, and
yeah.
Me and Jake the Snake, and, you know, they have a lot of legends coming in for that one as well, and that's right in downtown Tampa under a tent, right in the middle of the street, so it should be, you know, and Ybor City's kind of like a Bourbon Street here in Tampa.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't that way when I was down there, but, yeah, I've heard that it's party central, right?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's where I got arrested.
All right, exactly.
Could you tell us about that night?
Yeah, it was brief, man. It was 3 a.m. I don't drink anymore. I haven't been drunk since July 4th of 2004 because
mm-hmm.
of my psych meds, which I've actually taken myself off now. But I'm
right. Fine. You had said that you were bipolar.
Yeah, and they had me on meds, and they told me I really shouldn't be drinking on them.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, I think if you're bipolar, whether you're on the meds or not, I think anything that affects your mood, caffeine, alcohol, drugs of any sort, You got to be real careful with them.
Right.
If it affects your mood, when you're bipolar, it's almost like being on a roller coaster. And if you get your mood too high with some kind of drug, sooner or later your body's going to make you crash. And, you know, alcohol is initially kind of a stimulant, then it's a depressant, and it might bring me back into a manic state. You know, I'm 34. I started drinking when I was, I'm 36, and I started drinking when I was 13. So I had my fill.
Yeah.
I don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 3 o'clock in the morning in Ybor City, and I was going back to my car by myself. My friends went to their own car, and I saw a fight break out. And, you know, like anyone else, I enjoy a good fight, so I'm sitting there watching it. And, you know, I mean,
yeah.
it's weird that people love it, but a huge crowd gathered. There was about 300 people watching this fight.
Wow.
But before I knew it, it ended up 5-on-1. I mean, one kid was down, and the other five were beating the crap out of him, and I just couldn't take it anymore. So I jumped in and just kind of grabbed the one guy, and I held him back and kind of told the other guys, back off, he's had enough. And while I'm doing that, the one guy's girlfriend went over to one of the five and whacked him in the face with her pocketbook, and the guy decked her. And I snapped, and I chased the one guy that hit her into a bar, and by the time the cops got there, he was inside this bar that was already closed, but they closed the gates, so he was in there locked in.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the only way he could get out was the back door, and I'm telling the cops, you know, he's going to run around back, don't let this guy go. He beat up a guy, he punched a girl, you know, you need to arrest this guy. And they wouldn't go to the back door for some reason, so out of nowhere, I just ran to the back, and you know, even though I wasn't under arrest, they claimed at the time that was resisting arrest, which, you know, it just didn't make much sense.
Right.
But I was thrown into jail. They caught two of the guys. The one guy punched a girl and another one. But the one guy that punched a girl ended up walking that night. Didn't even sit in the jail cell. So I was real frustrated.
You look too sinister. That's what it is.
He knew somebody. He pulled the sergeant aside, and he knew somebody, and they let him walk. And I asked to see the sergeant's supervisor because I didn't think that was right, and that was a mistake. I ended up in the drunk tank for four extra hours with a bunch of drunks in there, and it was bad. So I just said, you know, so I ended up fighting it. I got a public defender and told him, hey, you know, I don't want internal affairs brought in on this. And they didn't want to hear that, so they just threw it away.
Right.
So the last thing we want is, you know, internal affairs involved in this, because they knew it was wrong. They knew what they did was wrong. You know, they shouldn't have let that one guy go.
Yeah, that's pretty brave, though, to, you know, you don't know who in that crowd was friends with those five. And
yeah, but you know what it is? There's just so much you can take. Like I said, I don't mind a good fight, and I don't, who knows, man, maybe that kid deserved an ass whooping, but he didn't deserve 5-on-1 ass whooping, and he already got his whooping, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
I was like, that's enough. You know, I don't care what he did, you know, he doesn't deserve to get hurt beyond recognition.
Right.
So that's why I stepped in, you know, and I really didn't, you know, it was more the kid hitting the girl. I just didn't think that was right. You know, partially it was my ego, probably. I should, you know, a lot of people watching me now, they got to save this kid, and now they probably felt like I should chase this kid, so I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, the girl caught him better than he caught her. I mean, she whacked the man. But ultimately, I don't think I should have done jail time, and, you know, it ended up costing me no money, and it was thrown out. So,
yeah.
But it was frustrating because, you know, afterwards I read online, you know, because that got out quick. That, like, 2 days later, was just, my mugshot was on the internet. I'm like, God, jeez. And, you know, everyone's writing, see, Chris is bipolar, and he's dealing with depression, and now he's acting out. He's on a downward spiral. I'm like, it really had nothing to do with, you know, it was like, these people, these internet reporters, they just don't check their facts. They don't care.
I got to tell you, I didn't hear anything like that. Well, from what I read, it's like, Chris Cannon's a hero.
That was, because I you know, they jumped to conclusions before I put up what I wanted, you know, my best side of it. But I wasn't going to put anything out because, you know, when it first happened, I thought about putting it out. I was like, you know what? I knew what I did was right, but it's almost self-serving for me to put something out at that point.
Right.
So I was like, well, the chances aren't going to get out. It's not like I'm Hulk Hogan, you know what I'm saying? I'm Canyon. It's not going to make the news or nothing. And then before I know it, you know, I was at an independent shop the following week, and some kid had me sign my own mugshot, which I thought was actually pretty fun. A friend of mine thought it was rude, but I thought it was real smart, man.
That's awesome.
And it's the only one I've signed, so that kid still has the. That was up in, where was that? Albany, New York, I think, or somewhere like that. Rochester, it was.
I always wanted my very own Chris Canyon mugshot.
Yeah.
It's a bad mug. And the funny thing was, I'm not kidding, when they're taking the mug shot, I was kind of, you know, I wasn't drunk, I wasn't really mad or anything, but I'm thinking, you know, you got to put on a face. Should I smile?
Right.
You know, or should I look mean? What should I do?
Yeah. Am I weak?
You really
do
have to pick one. And you had a split second, and I put on like the same type of mug shot you see everyone have.
Yeah.
I was like, I always get a smile for my thumbs up. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it really did pop into my head. I'm like, just
play into it, I guess.
I want to get to some questions from the chat room.
Okay.
TNA for Life says, how was it for you working with Raven?
Oh, it was great. I mean, you know, Raven's a little difficult calling, you know, going over what you want to do and stuff. He's a perfectionist, and, you know, I think at times, you know, Scotty might overthink stuff a little bit, but I know I'm guilty of it as well. I think Scotty might be bipolar. You know, he used to claim to be bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think he says he's not. Maybe that's just his bipolar.
Scotty's just insane.
I think he tends to overthink stuff. But I was happy with the way the match turned out. Everyone where there was, the company, there were some people in the company that told me that was Raven's best match in the company, best match in 6 months. And then they don't bring me back.
Yeah.
Or they bring me back to lose to Money Brown in 3 minutes.
Big K wants to know if you talked to Bam Bam Bigelow.
No, you know, I like Bam Bam a lot, and we got along great, and it was a great learning experience being in the triad with him, and I have no regrets about that, nothing but fond memories. And, you know, just he was, and probably always will, you know, probably always will be a bigger star than I was. So being in that triad, man, we went to one autograph signing, and literally in less than an hour, we had over 2,000 autographs we had to sign. And it was just overwhelming because I'd never dealt with anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just constantly moving. It was like, wow, we got to get to all these people. And, you know, I know it had a lot to do with his star power and Paige's star power, and it was like, wow, this is impressive. So, you know, I was always in awe of Bam Bam. I'll tell you, man, I've been in the ring with a lot of huge guys. I don't think anyone's ever moved as smoothly and easily as he did. And he had good wind for how, you know, not just how big he was, but he had good wind, period. He was in good cardio shape. Nothing but respect for Bam Bam, but we weren't very close outside of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the type of guy that I called at home, or he didn't call me at home. You know, we got along great when we wrestled, and we looked out for each other. I mean, there was enough of a bond there. If you know, somebody in the back was talking bad about him, I would just, you know, speak up for him. And, you know, if he got into a foot, I mean, him and Booker T got into it a few times in the ring, bad.
Really?
Oh, him and Booker T butted heads a lot. If you go back to some of those matches, man, if you go back, we actually dropped the straps. Me and Bam Bam dropped them to Booker and Stevie Ray at Road Wild, Sturgis. You watch the beginning of that match, Booker and him are going at it, and me and Nick Patrick had to hold them back. So those two, you know, and I love Booker T and I love Stevie Ray, but that was my partner, so I would have, you know, would have got my butt kicked. But
right.
I would have had to go to fight, you know, I would have had to go to bat for him and fight with him if I had to. And that's why me and Nick held him back so much, because I didn't want to have to really fight out there. I love Booker, you know, and Stevie was always fun. You know,
yeah.
I liked them both. And it put me in a really tough, put me and Stevie in a weird spot, because I think
Stevie's the character.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both are, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah. But,
fun.
Yeah, like
they were fun to work with.
Yeah.
Mitchell says, whose idea was the Positively Canyon gimmick, and how much did you enjoy it?
You know, it's funny, because Russo was with the company, but he was on sabbatical. I think they had sent him home to punish him at the point. But Ed Ferrara, who is who's Vince Russo's right-hand man all along, up in Vince, and then when he got to us.
Right.
Ed Ferrara and Disco were pretty much writing the TV at that point. And the whole concept was theirs. All the random canyon cutters, the whole feud with Booker T, all of that was them. And they wanted to go mainstream. They wanted me to do it. You know, we had to cross over with the Braves and with the Falcons and with the Hawks. They wanted me to be hitting the mascots. You know, they wanted to go everywhere with that. You know, but the higher-ups at TBS, TNT, put the kibosh on that. But all the cool stuff I did was them. And then Russo came back the night they screwed Hogan. You know, with the Jeff Jarrett and the Booker T, and Booker T ended up winning the belt that night.
Right.
I actually wrestled Booker earlier that night, and I beat him on pay-per-view. And then later that night, he wins the world title.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, so that was already booked. You know, the Russo came back that night, but my match was already, the finish was already predetermined. And, you know, the previous bookers already kind of had that whole pay-per-view worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Russo just affected the Hogan match.
Right.
And then Russo took that, and, you know, and I thought that angle was great, and it elevated me, it got me to where I needed to be. I'm in a feud with Booker T, who ends up winning the world title. Now, you know, I'm a realist. I don't think I was ready to face Booker T as, you know, the challenger for the world championship, although I think I could have, you know, my self-delusional Positively Canyon could have made that case. You know, I beat this guy 2 hours before he won the world title. If it was a matter of timing, I should be world champion. And I think it would have been a good way to get to Booker and Scott Steiner if I was like Scott's tag partner over the next couple of weeks. And I was a thorn in Booker T's side for Scott, because Scott's the one that ended up getting the world title shot at the next pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of giving it to them, because we did, we gave them Booker T and Scott a lot over the next month before we gave them it at the pay-per-view,
I thought that was a good way to not give him that one-on-one match. Have me in tag matches with Scotty against Booker and somebody, and, you know, have me and Booker wrestling and Scott interferes. You know, I think it was a good way to build up the Scotty feud if they, and help elevate me if they would have put me with Scotty and, you know, work both of us feuding with Booker.
Yeah.
But instead, Russo put me in a matches against Judy Bagwell. That's exactly where I went. I went from a feud with Booker and nothing against Buff, but, you know, if it was me and Buff, I think it would have been fine. But when you include Judy Bagwell and Mean Gene Okerlund and Mark
right.
Madden in the feud, it kind of hurt the feud a little bit. It hurt all the work that Disco and Ed put into building me up was shot in a month by feuding with Judy Bagwell and Mark Madden and Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
You know, it was bad booking. It was bad booking.
Yoshi wants to know, who came up with the idea of doing the bump off the triple cage, and how much did it hurt?
Ironically enough, that was actually my idea. I came up with that idea. I met with Eric Bischoff the Thursday. Me and Eric, I was one of the few guys I think Eric liked for some reason. And I got to know him a little better because of my relationship with Paige. But I used to have parties at my house all the time. We called my backyard Club Canyon. And I had three TVs out back and a hot tub and a bar and a big pool and a volleyball court. And I had parties, a lot of pay-per-view parties. Eric actually showed up. He showed up to a couple of them by himself. So me and Eric got along pretty well, and he invited me out to lunch. I think it was Cinco de Mayo or something. And, he always asked my input on other stuff with the company, but he asked me what I thought of the pay-per-view coming up, and it was the Triple Cage. I'm like, well, I don't think any three of those, you know, it was Paige, Jarrett, and what's his name? Courtney Cox's husband. Oh, okay.
David Arquette.
Yeah, it was them three in the cage. If you remember, Arquette was champion.
Right.
And the winner had, you know, whoever got up to the belt would be the champion. And I said, I don't think any three of those are going to take a bump off that cage, and I think people are going to want it. You know, when you put a big structure like that, they kind of anticipate something big at the end. And I didn't think they were going to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm afraid it's going to be, no matter how good the match is, without the bump, it's going to be disappointing. And he goes, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, I'll take it.
Oh,
like, I don't think those three are. I'm like, but I'll do it. And he goes, well, how can we do it safe? And I said, make the rampway. I'm like, you know, the difference between me and what Mick Foley did was Mick had one small target. He could have overshot it or undershot it easily.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he had a small table to hit. I was like, I need something huge. I want the whole ramp. And he's like, all right. And literally, and this is Thursday before the Sunday, mm-hmm. he picks up a phone, calls Craig Leather, says, Craig, I need the whole rampway from the stage all the way to the ring. And get Ellis Edwards up there, who's the stunt guy. Get Ellis out there, and Kane's going to take a bump off the cage at the end of the triple cage. And hung up, and I'm like, holy crap. And then he calls up Travel. He goes, we need Kane's travel to be changed. He's flying up there tomorrow to practice the cage bump.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, wow, this guy's got ridiculous power, man. And I was up there Friday. I practiced a few times. They made my target area twice as wide and twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
And I practiced on cardboard boxes. But I was falling way too deep into them, so it looked real phony.
Right.
And we came up with the idea of, you know, we would put a small, skinny piece of plywood on top to make the noise, and that should stop me from falling too deep into it. And if I did, the whole thing would kind of collapse instead of one spot where my ass hit. And then on top of that, the one thing we didn't plan for was how taut that carpet was on top.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hit it, man, it was like landing on sand. If you ever like did a front flip on the beach, and it kind of knocks the wind out of you. Well, it was like hitting that from, you know, 20 feet up or however high it was.
Right.
It was a lot. Everyone in the back knew. They made a big announcement. They said, Kane's taking a bump. You know, and it was a little. If you go back and watch the paper, there's a little X on the rampway, and that's where my butt was supposed to hit. And I hit right on it. But if we didn't practice the day before, I would have totally missed the ramp because I went way to the side. I mean, twice as far to the side than I was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your tendency. You don't want to commit your head over. You kind of look the whole time, and it forces you to the side. So I practiced it three times, and I actually ended up hitting right on the X. But everyone in the back knew, and they still thought I missed. They thought I overshot because I fell so little into it
mm-hmm.
that they thought I overshot and hit the wood, you know, hit the actual ramp.
Right.
So when I got wheeled in the back, people were freaking. People were crying and stuff, and it was the only time I ever got brought in the back, and it was like an ovation when I got through the curtain. Because I got off, you know, they gave me the ovation when I got off the stretcher. They were like, holy crap, you didn't get hurt.
Yeah. Magnum says, who has the belt from Ready to Rumble?
I do.
You do?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, actually, I bring it to Independence. You know, if I'm going to do Polaroids, a lot of times fans want pictures with belts anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I took it said King on there. It said King on a little plaque, like the world titles.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I pulled that off and put the GSBLT, the division, the Gay, Straight, Bisexual, Lesbian, Transgender division. So, I put straights in there. I got you guys covered. It's Gay, Straight, Bisexual, Lesbian. See, I look out for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that was actually kind of a homage to Andy Kaufman, who did the transgender,
right.
the intergender championship.
The intergender championship.
So that was really just an homage to him. Kind of a goof, but, you know, whatever.
Let me ask you a question. Are you currently in a relationship? And if you are, how does he feel about this whole thing and the whole wrestling deal?
Nothing too serious. You know, gay relationships are a little different than most straight relationships. At least from what I've seen, it just seems like gay guys are more into playing the field and having more than one partner at a time, and just kind of, you know, not being so committed until they find the exact right person. Where I think straight couples jump into it a little bit too quick sometimes.
Yeah.
And even once you're in a gay relationship, a lot of times, I think gays just know that guys cheat more than girls. I think that's statistical fact.
Guys know guys.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I think we know we're going to cheat on each other anyway, so we're a little bit more willing to have an open relationship where, all right, if you're going to hook up with that guy, go do it, but, you know, nothing more than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think it's just a little bit more realistic way to look at it. I mean, if you look at the stats, 90 to 95% of guys cheat on women. I mean, women cheat on guys, too. It's like 70 or 75% of women cheat on guys. But we just know the guys are going to. So we know we're going to cheat on each other, especially in the gay world. It's just so much easier to find, you know, a quick hookup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, girls kind of keep us in check in the straight world, but in the gay world, there's no one to really keep you in check. And guys are guys, you know.
BMAC wants to know if any performers have declined working with you because of your preference.
Not that I know of. I was supposed to work Just Incredible this weekend in San Francisco, in Alameda, California, which is that little island between San Francisco and Oakland. I wrestled there at the Alameda High School on Saturday night. I was supposed to wrestle him and he no-showed, but my guess is it had nothing to do with that, although the promoter asked me. He did ask me if I got along with Justin and if I thought Justin was homophobic or not, and I was like, and you'd have to ask him, I guess, but I didn't think Justin was like that, but it's possible. I mean, it definitely is possible. And, you know, again, I wonder if TNA having a problem with me and having a problem with, you know, that contract they tried to make me sign. And, you know, they did out now. Jeff out now told me that Universal Studios might have a problem with having an openly gay active wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy Borash did tell me that there was a problem with Spike TV. Did not want faggot chants. And they were afraid that, you know, I would definitely elicit that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and even McMahon, I don't know. It's tough. I think it's a little bit harder to book around it. I think it'd be hard to if you feed right into me being a heel with this being known now, you might be feeding into homophobia.
Right.
He might be afraid to do that, and maybe Vince doesn't know if he can get, you know, 20,000 people to cheer for an openly gay performer. I mean, when you cheer for Elton John, you're cheering for the music. When you're cheering for an athlete, you're rooting for me to either win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit more personal. You know, you're not cheering for Elton to win or lose. You're just cheering for the music. You appreciate what he does.
Right.
When it's an openly gay athlete, it's never really been done in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's so many unknowns. Bookers and writers might be, you know, even on indies. I'm not, you know, we haven't really played into it on the indies because without the storylines, without vignettes or a well-developed story in the back, I don't think it works on a one-shot deal at an indie shot, you know, to play any angle into it. You know, it's difficult. If I go out there and my opponent starts mocking me for being gay, he might turn himself babyface. You know, we don't know how the crowd's going to react.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very tricky thing. So, I trust that Vince would be able to write it properly. I would want to try to go babyface first, and then at least if it doesn't work that way, we can always say we tried, it didn't work, and we had to go with what the people wanted. But, you know, I don't know. We won't know if he doesn't hire me and bring me in to do anything with it. We'll never know.
Yeah. Chris, I want to thank you for being on the show. We're out of time. Gone over a little bit more. Boy, we could have gone all day.
Dude, I love talking.
Well, we'll have to do it again sometime. Listen, man, good luck. And
who do you have coming on next?
We've got Terry Funk coming.
Ah, cool. I would love his opinion on what he thinks of an openly gay active pro wrestler.
Okay, we'll talk to him.
And I love Terry. Me and Terry have a long history, so it'd be interesting to see what he says.
Great.
All right. I appreciate you guys having me on, man.
Hey, we appreciate you coming, Chris, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, dude.
Bye-bye. Chris Canyon here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to run down TNA's pay-per-view, find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game, and then we got Terry Funk coming up here on Wrestling Weekly. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher on the Wrestling Radio Network. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name's Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio. Well, if one or all of these are true, visit FanTalkLive.com today. That's www.FanTalkLive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the Internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@aol.com. That's fantalklive@aol.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name's Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio.
I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling Soft, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman, available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio? Well, if one or all of these are true, visit FanTalkLive.com today. That's www.FanTalkLive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the Internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at FanTalkLive@AOL.com. That's FanTalkLive@AOL.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly, right here on the Wrestling Radio Network. We've got Terry Funk coming up in just a little bit. Right now, it's time to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game from last week.
And where's the drum roll? Doc Young. The drum roll.
The subject is, of course, TNA's lockdown pay-per-view from Sunday. And let's go right into it. Let's get to the first match. It was Team Japan versus Team USA. Les, we both picked Japan. We were smart guys.
Were we?
Yes, we were.
All right.
We picked Japan. Team Japan did win it. It was a good match, I think, and a good lead, a good opening match, and a good lead into what's going to happen at the World X Cup.
When is that? Now, is that next month?
That's next month.
Okay.
Then we had Christopher Daniels versus the mysterious mystery opponent who turned out to be the former Low-Ki, now being called Senshi.
Senshi,
which means warrior.
Yes.
Senshi won, and we both picked Daniels, so we got no points off of that.
Well, we just thought it might be a one-time deal, right? We had no idea that it was, who it was going to be, or the fact that I guess Ki signed.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so we were dumb. What can I say?
Yeah, I don't.
Well, it's hard to determine when you don't know who mystery opponent is.
Right.
I mean, there's our cop-out, Doc.
That was a good cop-out, too.
Okay, see. Well, hey.
I commend you.
That's why I'm part of the team. Go ahead.
Then we had Bullet Bob Armstrong versus Conan in the arm wrestling match. You went with Conan on this one.
Yes.
And I went with Bob in his tendon strength. And Bob did end up beating Conan, like, cleanly.
Yeah, well, see. It goes to show what I know, right?
Yeah,
when it comes to arm wrestling.
Don't underestimate tendon strength.
I know. I know. See, but see, that's why you're wiser than I am, and that's why you're the lead announcer.
So that was a point for me. Then we had the escape match. Wow, this was a big one. With all six of those wrestlers in the ring, I had went with Elix Skipper. You would have went with Chris Sabin, and you picked him right out of six.
See?
You got Chris Sabin. You should get extra points for that.
Wow. Because
there were six people.
Just send me a money. Don't worry about the points. Just money will work.
Team 3D versus Team Canada, which was kind of weird. They teased a false finish on that one. Did you see that when the referee was knocked out and they grabbed the flag? And the referee didn't see it. I was expecting, oh, God, Team Canada's going to go over. Scott DeMore's going to do something, you know. But no, the referee woke up, and they got the flag again, and this time the referee saw it. Team 3D wins, and you and I had picked Team 3D to go over.
Uh-huh.
So we're smart that way.
Well, see, we knew the – well, no, don't say we knew the finish or somebody else saying, well, no, didn't know, but just
– We guessed the finish.
Yeah, it kind of made sense. And I see that now they need to start some new feuds in terms of the teams. I think we've milked that one for whatever it's worth.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, that was just a passing comment. Move on, Doc.
Joe, Samoa Joe versus Sabu. Now, we knew going into this that Sabu was injured, and we had found out that day the news broke that Sabu, it was going to be Sabu's last match. We both went with Joe, and Joe beat him kind of quickly.
Well, they go 6-7 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was expecting
kind
of a longer match.
Well, his arm was broken. There's a clever idea. There's a good reason to go six.
Absolutely.
Go less than six.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, really. You know, so maybe that was part of the deal. I don't know. I'm just speculating in that respect.
Yeah.
But
it's just unfortunate that... It kind of made Abyss look weak in you know, as relation.
To me, that's relevant. See, and obviously it is if you notice it, and you're the advocate of the bikini contest and the lingerie battle royals.
Yeah.
But if you notice those little detail things, then see other people do too, and that's one of the things that bothers me because that's some of the stuff that's being left out of our business currently. And yes, if storylines have big gaping holes, it just, you know, that's asking a bit much for you to suspend your disbelief there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, if they're going to do all these vignettes, these little, you know, segments with multiple people just talking, you know, just acting or whatever the hell you call it, I don't know. I would suggest do a portion of those backstage and basically like you are eavesdropping, because then it's not so, I don't know, if you and I are going to have a disagreement, are we going out in front of 15,000 people to do it and ask for their attention? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, my point here is, again, that this realism has to come into this at some point. You should be asking people to suspend their disbelief, and with a lot of that stuff, I just don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not to say some of it's not humorous or entertaining, but to me, see, in some respects, some of the things that I find humorous are in a personal deal because I know the people, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you may find some of your classmates when you were in high school that were humorous and nobody else thought they were funny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't go on to be, you know, major comedians and stand-up comics or whatever. But,
right.
Yeah, so it's the same. No, I'll find the guy humorous because I know the guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that's, I don't know that it's, you know, the in-ring thing. But if they're going to do them, I hope they do them well.
Yeah.
you know, that's, I think that, I don't know. It's, it remains to be seen, I guess.
Yeah. The next match was Christian Cage versus Abyss.
Uh-huh.
Christian Cage went over. We both picked Cage to go over, of course. And too bad for Abyss. I really like Abyss. I thought, I was hoping for an upset, and there'd be a, I know that, you know, it doesn't make any sense storyline-wise, and it wasn't the best thing to do. You know, as far as changing the heavyweight champion so often.
No, it's not a good thing to do.
But I was just, the mark in me just wanted Abyss to win.
No, it's not. Well, now, didn't he take the belt or something? Where did I read that? Where did I come up with that?
That he took the belt? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he did that on the tape, the show that's going to air this coming Thursday.
It's possible. I'd like to see the rematch.
But yeah, well, you know, that to me was a storyline I didn't find feasible or did I like 40 years ago, and I don't find it anymore. when I say that, it's just like, you know, you come and grab my belt and say, okay, now possession is 9/10 of the law, and I have the belt, so you have to wrestle me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, in my way of thinking, and which is not to say it's the only way, but it's my way, to me, I try to parallel my storylines with something that with realism, you know, with something in real life. And so let me give you that same scenario. It's the Super Bowl, and you're the winning coach, and just as the commissioner, the NFL, is presenting you with a trophy, I run into your locker room, push him out of the way, nail you, grab the trophy and say, now if you want this back, you will have to play us again.
Yeah.
And before I get back to my locker room, I will have been at least at minimum suspended from the NFL, fined a humongous amount of money, possibly even blackballed out of the league.
Yeah.
For you know, because that means if you can get away with that, there's no sheriff in town, right? There's just
the sheriff's supposed to be Larry Zbysko, and he's wandering around.
There's a storyline I don't understand. I do not understand. And what I'm saying is, why are they? I mean, okay, we talk about they've only got an hour, and that's premium.
Right.
Then where does there's a new sheriff in town, or that there's a new voice of authority, or face of authority, or voice and face of authority, whatever the case may be. You know, why is that taking up time on this show?
Yeah.
I mean, I have no objection with Larry Zbysko. I have no personal extra crime with Larry. I like Larry. We've never had a disagreeable word. But I just don't see the value at this point in time.
And who's the face and who's the heel in this situation?
Well, you know what? It's not so much that makes a difference. But, see, my problem with some of the things that are going on with WWE with the same deal with the vignettes is that they don't take you anywhere. Necessarily, you know, they're, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know,
they're standalone.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. Just for the sake of the argument, I would guess that a lot of people would turn on a wrestling show would probably do it to see wrestling. I don't know. You know, it's just my kind of off the wall idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you know, but I I'm not averse to being, you know, I realize it's 2006, and I'm not but it's just, I don't know. I think too much comedy, you're asking people, you know, first of all, you're telling me, they always know that comedy's comedy, and there's nothing real about that, but yet you have that linked in some way to a match, which now you want me to suspend my disbelief and get into a match, right?
Right.
I think you're asking the average person wants to be entertained, you know, doesn't want to be shifting gears 15 times over the next 2 hours, you know, or 1 hour if it's only 1 hour. I don't know.
I think that's by design, though.
Well,
it's part of
I don't have a problem with an emotional roller coaster. I believe you build that into a match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good match takes the viewer on an emotional roller coaster ride, but. I don't want Abbott and Costello popping up in the middle of my Law and Order.
Yeah.
You get me?
Right.
Okay. So I'm not saying in subtle manners that there's, I mean, it's like there's always a dry-witted cop, right, on the cop shows, or, you know, the guy that's got the snide remarks, who's always got a wise remark for everything, right?
Right.
Okay, cool. But they don't pound you over the head with that, right? They hit and go.
Mm-hmm.
They do it and they get away from it, which it doesn't detract from the drama that you're trying to portray. That's my point. I think this is just too extreme one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
Am I making sense? Probably not.
Yeah, you're making sense.
Yeah, okay. And it's just that's the art of our business, you mm-hmm. know. And again, you know, possibly this could be because there's not a lot of depth on the roster currently. Again, that's not taking away from anybody's talent. It's just in this business, you know, there's an old saying that you're a rookie the first 5 or 6 years.
Right.
And there are guys in key positions now that don't have that much time in. And everybody matures at different rates anyway. But bottom line is, you know, it's as it is, I guess. So.
Yeah. The last match was, of course, Team Sting versus Team Jarrett. I played devil's advocate on this one. I went with Team Jarrett. I thought that would be a good lead into some of these other feuds that were going on in between these six people, or eight people, excuse me. And Team Sting did get the victory, though, and you had went with Team Sting.
Well, that, you mean I beat you for once?
That gave you the lead, yes. Les right, wins the pay-per-view prediction.
I'll run out and jump in the car and run drive a victory lap around the block.
You got lucky.
Well, there you go. What can I say? And then next Sunday? Way down the line now, since we're on Tuesday, next Sunday is a pay-per-view down in Lewis, by Godville, Kentucky.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Backlash. Yes.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a doozy.
God makes his pro wrestling debut.
Yes.
Well, not actually. I'm sure he's
wrestled before, but...
Well, probably, yeah.
Probably not in front of this many people.
Yes, you know, wrestling is the sport of kings. Goes back to the biblical days. And anyway, yeah, okay.
What do you think about Raven being back?
Well, I think about it?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm... if they got something for him, I'm not adverse to it.
I hope it's not this.
I hope it's not what?
I hope it's not Raven versus Sabisco.
Oh, no, I'm not crazy about that either, no.
But
I understand Scotty's put on quite a bit of weight, but he's having some health problems.
Yeah, he's got a thyroid condition, doesn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
Sometimes that happens.
You know, I personally like Scott. I have no problem. He spent quite a bit of time here with me.
Mm-hmm.
Helped with the booking and is, you know, very knowledgeable and very into it, you know. So, yeah, he's cool with me.
VNS, really quickly before the break, VNS wants to know, what's your favorite Law & Order? The original SVU, or Criminal Intent?
You know what? I like them all.
Really?
Yes. I DVR what I can't watch and then go watch it later. You got to understand, a guy who wrestled all those years, or you know, when you're working when everybody else is off, then primetime television is a luxury.
Yeah.
You know? So I savor it like fine food.
We're going to take a break, guys. We'll be right back after this with Terry Funk. You're listening to Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher on the Wrestling Radio Network.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Hi, my name is Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling Soft, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else.
So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman, available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher are back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our featured guest, he used to reside at the Double Cross Ranch, but that's no more. It's Terry Funk from Texas.
That's exactly right, Terry Funk from Texas. But you know what? Because I got a lot of money for the Double Cross. I've heard that before.
Oh,
lots
yeah.
And lots of money for the Double Cross. I'm filthy, stinking rich, you know that.
Well, you know, you're just you and GW... You know, probably hanging out, right? Counting your oil stocks.
Now, who in the hell is G.W.?
Bush.
George W. Bush?
Yeah.
Well, other than George Bush, there's other people, you know. I mean, I wish I could, you know, I really would love to hang out with John Wayne, but I'd have to dig him up. I don't know exactly where he is.
If you don't slow down, you won't have to dig him up.
Yeah, I might be joining him.
Well, you know what? Now, see, I figured once you sold the ranch that you kind of kicked back a little bit and at least, you know, shifted into cruise control, but you haven't slowed down a damn bit now, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have?
I've been, I haven't really slowed it down. I don't know what in the hell I'm doing, Les. I really don't. Trying to figure it out, what I'm doing.
Well, have you got any movies in the works? Any movies coming up?
No, I really don't have any movies. I've got some things going on, trying to find out what's going on with this ECW deal. You know, the ECW, the Extreme Championship Wrestling, and we're having the show this year, and I don't know if I'm going to be in the thing or not. You know, just tell you how it is that I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to be like most people and kiss Vince McMahon's butt. You know, I'm not a member of the world's ass kissing organization at all. I'm a member of the world's ass kicking organization.
Well said.
And I am the world's ass kicking champion. That's the WAKO, the Wacko organization.
But now, you have never tangled with God, and this coming Sunday night, Vince is going to.
You know, I think that's about the sickest pile of crap that he's ever done.
I think it's crazy, too.
I think it's sick, and I think, no, I'm very serious about this. Mm-hmm. I really am, you know, it's... I'm going to be very forward about my statements, as I definitely don't approve of the product that he's putting out. And if he still wants to use me in that ECW deal, that's fine. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back and say that I like everything that he's doing or I approve of everything he's doing. I think that what he's doing right now is putting out a crappy product, you know, and... To be very honest with you, is I feel that Vince McMahon, and very seriously so, I feel like he was very instrumental in his father's death. And how I say that is I think the old man died of a broken heart because of what he did to the professional wrestling world. And I'm not kidding you about that. I think this guy has made a lot of mistakes, and I think it's about time somebody stood up to him, you know, and they're not going to stand up with ECW. I don't know who is, you know.
Well, you know, serious.
You know, ECW stood up. Now we got TNA, but that's not making much of a stroke across the country, you know.
Let me ask you something here. They're talking about resurrecting ECW as a separate promotion, I guess. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not sure if separate, but anyway, the details are sketchy. But sometime in September, they've already talked.
They've got to get control of it, because if Vince McMahon gets control of it, it's only an extension of him. And it's the same crap we're getting. It's just a variation of it.
Well, my question was going to be...
if somebody can get control of it, well, then that's okay. But if Vince McMahon has total control of it, it's the same thing and the same garbage that we've had for the last 5 years.
Oh, okay.
The demise of BCW.
Mm. Well, now, I would think that if I were trying to resurrect it and put it back together, I would think a guy from Amarillo, Texas, that I know would be somebody that I would want to be involved in the nuts and bolts putting the whole thing together. I won't call you a writer or a booker necessarily, but a consultant who could kind of tie that whole thing together. I think you would be very good at that.
Again, there's... there would be only one way to be good with it, is if he is alienated from it. Because otherwise he can't be tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
He or his family cannot be tied to it. If he is tied to it, if his family is tied to it, it's Vince McMahon.
I read you loud and clear.
And that's the way I feel about it.
I want to get to a couple questions from the chat room. We don't have a lot of time, but... Clear Vision wants to know which means more to you, the ECW world title or the NWA world title that you have held?
That's a pretty good question. It really is. Is the ECW title meant a great deal to me because there was no NWA World Championship at that time. You know what I mean? It was in the past.
Right.
So it was really a big deal to me at the time, the ECW deal. But I think that the NWA championship was probably the most prestigious championship. And don't misunderstand me, as I love being the ECW champion, but that was really quite prestigious at the time. It really did cover the entire planet at the time, and that's a that was quite a thing, is to be going around the world and being known as the world's champion all over and for many, many organizations. You know, and we forget about numbers sometimes, you know. And again, as I'm not sitting up here and trying to knock Vince's organization or anything else, but there was 30 different organizations in the United States at a minimum. And each of those places, just in the United States, they probably averaged, even if they averaged 2,000 people a night, you know, and let's say they averaged just 1,500, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You take that times 30, you're doing approximately 40,000 people around that number every night, 365 nights a year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some territories ran two and three towns.
Absolutely.
So they're talking about popularity of wrestling. Well, popularity of wrestling was much more back then, you know. And you look at ECW, you know, and it was just in a corner of the United States, and it made a tremendous effort. Paulie did, and Tommy Dreamer, they made a tremendous effort to establish something. And they did, but it was difficult because of the amount of money it cost to go nationwide, and they didn't have it. And Vince did. And he used his father's money to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, I would have, and I'll tell you what, I would have done the same thing that he's done. Definitely would have, and would have loved conquering the world of wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Les Thatcher would say the same thing.
Yes.
That he would love to have been the one to conquer it, but in no way were we in the position to do it. And Vince used his father's money, and his and that was very instrumental in him being able to put it together. He also used the environment that he was from, which was New York, which was a center for
media and entertainment.
Yeah, for entertainment. Really was.
Professor VNS says, who would you want to wrestle at One Night Stand 2?
One Night Stand, if I could wrestle anybody I want to?
Yeah.
I'd like to have, I would love to get in the ring with Ric Flair and one more barbed wire, I quit match.
Wow.
I would love to, be in the ring with, so many guys from, I'd like to have a chance to be in a ring with a lot of different guys, that I got tremendous respect for, you know, in the business, that are in the business right now, you know. I'd love to be in a ring, if I could get in a ring with somebody and raise the level a little bit, I'd love to be in there with Sabu, you know. Foley's nuts.
Yeah.
had some gruesome battles with him, and I'd probably love to be in there again with him. I'd love to be in there with, some of the guys, you know, the Sandman. You know, I mean, it sounds crazy. Tommy Dreamer. I'd go on and on. Even Balls Mahoney is. I would love to get in the ring and have a great match with all of those guys. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The Rottens. I wouldn't even mind getting in the ring with the Rottens. It doesn't matter to me. I just love the whole group.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great being back with them. And just so that we can keep Vince out of the thing, that's great.
Yeah.
And just being straightforward with you on the whole thing, is it's. I hope that it doesn't get tainted by him again.
Another question from the chat room. They want to know if you regret working Hardcore Homecoming last year over One Night Stand.
Absolutely not. I certainly, and not being funny about this, but being very honest with you, I can see where the other boys would have made the choice that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because it was a financial choice, you know. And I don't blame them one bit. It was a good payday for them. But I really didn't need that payday, so I was able to pick the one that I really wanted to, that was in my heart. And if it was really in the heart, and believe me, sometimes it's in the heart whenever you do that, too. I mean, whenever they wrestle for, WWE, their heart was there because that was the most money, and they needed the money to feed their family. Believe me, they do. And they did, you know. And, their heart was in it whenever they went over there. It definitely was. But I wanted to be, and I couldn't perform at both of them. And a lot of them performed at both of them, you know.
Right.
But I couldn't. I can't, couldn't go that many times in a row. You know, I'm really concentrating on coming back to the ECW show. It means so much to me, and it really does. It means a great deal to me to keep... to keep it untainted, to have a match that's to have a show that is something of its own,
mm-hmm.
and possibly could have a life of its own, too. And I think that this is something that could happen.
Magnum wants to know, real quick, how was it working WrestleMania 2 with your brother Dory, and how hectic was it in the back with three simultaneous shows going on?
Well, it really wasn't that hectic to myself or my brother because we were in one match, and we were concerned with that one match.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
And Les will tell you the same thing, Doc, is you're concerned about your own performance and your own match that you have in the ring, and that's you get focused, you know, and you focus on what you have to do, and that's what we did on that particular night. As far as behind the scenes, it had to be a tremendous headache. It had to be.
I'm sure it was.
Guys, all the technical people, the camera people, everything else, that had to be quite complicated.
And it was never done again, so I imagine.
I'm sure that's why it never was, you know. And, I just am truly, truly, truly looking forward to the ECW, not really reunion, but the reoccurrence of ECW. I'm looking forward to viewing what is going to happen. Will it evolve somewhere? Will it get pushed to a back burner again? Will it become something? Or will it become just another, you know, organization that disappears,
mm-hmm.
you know, and becomes less and less? Or is it going to gain strength, and is it going to snowball down the hill? It would be wonderful if it did.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the fans are very interested in it. And I think that there's much more interest in it than what McMahon knows, and I think there's a lot of people that want to see it gain life and to breathe and to grow.
Yeah. One more question. We had Chris Canyon on earlier, and he wanted us to ask you.
He wanted us to tell you hello first.
Yes. But he wanted us to ask you what you thought about Chris Canyon being the first openly gay wrestler. And what you thought about the whole situation?
Well, I don't think it is first openly gay wrestler. I really don't, and I like Chris, and I think it's fine. It's been fine through the years. I mean, there's been, you can ask Les, there's been gay wrestlers
since he's been wrestling, as far as I know.
Been wrestling, and heck, there's no difference between him and me, and never has been, you know. And I mean, it's openly gay, you know. I mean, I don't think Pat minds me going ahead and saying that Pat was gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were several wrestlers that were gay, and I don't think they minded us talk about. You know, I mean, it's
right.
Pretty open about it, and it was very accepted. I think wrestling has been a wonderful thing. I think it has accepted race quicker and better than society itself. I think it's been a groundbreaker for society itself as far as race is concerned. I think it's been a groundbreaker as far as gays are concerned in doing good in the profession. The biggest promoter in the profession for years was Jim Barnett, who is openly gay. And Chris is, I think it's great. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. You know, I mean, I think it's wonderful.
All right.
And I don't know how you feel. I mean, hell, you know, it
ain't no big thing, right?
Well, I judge people by how they treat me and
yes,
how I treat
right.
them. That's it.
Right.
Exactly.
I hope they judge me by how I treat them.
But, you know, I told him the same, basically what you, I said, hey, Chris, after all these years in this, it ain't no big deal, right? I mean, as long as you're a good guy and you figure, I could care less.
Mm-hmm.
If you can draw me a buck, well, yep. Then hell, draw me a buck.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't give a damn if you, shave your ass and walk on your hands like a monkey. Very serious.
Yeah. Doc will be trying that this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm serious about that. I mean, that's you know, and by golly, if you work hard in that ring and bust your ass and do a great job, that's all I can ask of you.
Yes, sir.
The rest of it is your business.
Terry, we're out of time.
That's like, okay, well, if you're out of time, well, I guess I'm out of time. I just now got started.
Hey, listen, we'd to have you come back on earlier in the show, Doc.
I would love to come on sometime and just spend the evening with you talking about stuff like we're talking
about. Let's do that.
That would be great. Listen, we'll do that.
Give Miss Vicky a hug for me. We love you guys.
I will, and you guys take care now.
All right, man.
It's going to be fun going up there and seeing what is going to happen.
Yep. Well, good luck to you, man.
Yeah.
I might need some.
All right. Take care, Terry.
Bye, Terry. Right.
All right, bye.
Terry Funk here on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, that's going to about wrap up the show. Join us next week. We've got Justin Roberts, the Heat announcer for WWE. He's going to be on the program. Also, George the Animal Steel. Yes.
All right.
He's going to be on Wrestling Weekly.
I haven't seen George. I haven't talked to George in a while. That's cool.
It's going to be awesome. Don't forget to check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com for all your wrestling needs. Thanks to the Wrestling Radio Network. We're going to see you guys next week for Les Thatcher. I'm Doc Young. Good night.
Good night, everybody.